Our talk this morning will be given by Boundless Way Senior Dharma Teacher, Diane Fitzgerald.
So this Anga that we're having, this 3-week retreat, every day so beautiful that new faces appear and join us. Just like, you know, ingredients in a wonderful dish that we're preparing, and each one a different flavor, and bringing out the flavor in the others. And it would be so different if you weren't here. So lovely that everyone comes and brings this individual flavor that creates a beautiful stew to feed all of us. And during this Anga, our practice has been that we are exploring koans or Zen stories, and we've had so many really touching and inspiring talks by people every day two, sometimes three talks a day. So today's my turn. And I have chosen case 6 in the Blue Cliff Record, which is one of the koan collections we use in Boundless Way Zen. And the name of this case is Yunmen's Good Day. Yunmen taught, "I do not ask you about the 15th of the month. Come say something about after the 15th. And he himself responded, "Every day is a good day." So just a little postscript. The 15th is the full moon day in the Chinese lunar calendar. So I do not ask you about the 15th of the month. Come say something about after the 15th. So this is a lot like the teacher is saying, "Diane, get up and say something." And I love in this little koan that Yunmen, the teacher, answered himself. He said, "Every day is a good day." And I think Yunmen, this is his essential truth, and he could not help but answer it himself. He wasn't going to wait for someone else to give him a different answer. He wanted to really sing it out to the heavens. Every day is a good day. And it's such a perplexing case, right? Because how could every day be a good day? When I, for a long time, I used to be really fascinated by the really heinous things that happen in the world, heinous crimes, and I would read them in the newspaper or hear about them on the radio, and I would think about them, and I always remember this terrible crime in Sturbridge where this little girl was walking from her grandparents' house to her family house and disappeared. All they found was a shoe. And I live in Connecticut, and just the most unimaginably terrible crime happened in a town called Cheshire, where, you know, two men broke into a home of a mom and a dad and a teenage girl and a preteen girl and raped them and set the house on fire. And the father survived. He had been tied up in the basement, and he struggled out when the house was in flames. So much in the world, you know, we're inundated, bombarded with images, you know, genocide in Syria. Everything just seems so much suffering. And here's Yunmen saying, "Every day is a good day." You know, how could these possibly be good days? And in a personal way, this koan came to me where many years ago, my sister Her 2-year-old son was killed when he fell out the window of their house onto the asphalt. And I was driving to the funeral. I was actually driving to my sister's house first. And I stopped at a convenience store to get a bottle of water. And the clerk, you know, very harmlessly said, "Have a good day." And I thought, oh, what an inane thing to say to anybody, you know. I vowed I would never again, for the rest of my life, say, "Have a good day" to anyone. And I actually did that for quite a few years. And so I continued on to my sister's house. And I met her at the top of the stairs. And she just looked at me and she said, "Could you brush my hair? I can't do it." And so so she sat down on a little stool like that the children use to reach up to the sink and brush their teeth. And my sister has really beautiful blonde hair. And I brushed her hair there in the light of the bathroom. And how could that? And there's another koan that's, for me, very similar to this one. And I don't know it exactly, but the heart of it is that there's a monk whose teacher dies. And several of the monks are at the funeral. And one of them is just crying, overcome with tears. And the other monk stops him and says, "What are you doing? You know, you're a Zen monk. You are beyond life and death. Why are you making such a display of yourself?" And the one who was crying said, "I'm just crying." So to me, this word "just" is at the heart of it. You know, and it's not only about crying. There's a really beautiful poem that Melissa gave me a long time ago that's always stayed with me, and it's called "A Brief for the Defense" by Jack Gilbert. And there's one line that over and over I recall it, and it says, "Be stubborn in your gladness. Be stubborn in your gladness. Because to do otherwise, you denigrate real suffering. If everything is suffering, then you don't know what suffering is. People suffer in all different ways, including ourselves. But it's not all suffering." And part of the poem, which I find really touching, is it talks about, just to make it vivid, the women in Calcutta who talk and laugh at the water fountain. And here they are, desperately poor, you know, selling their bodies to feed their children. And yet they talk and laugh at the water fountain. So what is that? What is that? What is brushing my sister's hair in the bathroom light? What is talking and laughing at the water fountain? When Yunmen was asked, he said, "Every day is a good day." Thank you. So now is when we can get a little more comfortable, if you like. Stretch out your legs, and we have and we can look at each other. So we can have a practice of a Dharma dialogue. And everyone is free, if you have the courage, to come forth and say, if you have questions or comments or anything that arises for you, it's open field.
Diane, it's such a good day to hear, to see your heart.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just want to sit here and cry.
It's so hard to talk. talk about this koan in particular. Mm-hmm. It's just so easily misunderstood. And I feel like you really got right to the heart of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and the mind doesn't make sense of this. Every day is a good day at all. Mm-hmm. But in Zen practice, there is this possibility that we can be open to everything, every single thing we encounter, even to our shutting down to it. You know, that's one reason why we're all here.
Thank you, Diana. Particularly like the bit about the two monks and where the one monk says, you know, buck up. You know, we're supposed to be beyond all that. As Zen students, beyond life and death. You know. Just crying and sad. I often think, you know, in the face of so much, not just suffering, but malicious, you know, willful, hurting people, just, you know, how does it make any sense? And it doesn't. It doesn't make sense, and yet we meet all of it, and we're alive, and it is hard to talk about, but express it very well. Thank you.
Thank you for trying. It is hard to talk about.
I'm a minister, as you know, and over the last 7 years have done memorial services for about 70 people. And the longer I'm there, the more I love the people I have to do that for. Like, it was one thing at the beginning. It was, you know, some nice old lady I'd met one time. Now it's some nice old lady I've been to dinner with and been to her house and all of this other kind of thing. And people ask, you know, how can you do that? And I guess I just know that actually, like, those times when people are dying or are really sad or there's this big change, it's like the realest day you'll ever have. And there's something, I mean, so much of just kind of the daily life of things is blah, 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 blah. And on that day, it's like, you know, now we're doing what matters, even if it feels sad. I guess weddings are the flip side of that, baby dedications and stuff, but I do it because I love the way, and it's weird, I mean, you know, I would never say I like it, but I'd rather do that than almost any other thing. Because it's real. And another thing I have to turn to just about every day, and which makes me stubborn in my gladness, is when I face these incidents of horrible cruelty or, you know, just craziness, mindless violence or whatever, you know, it'll make the front page of the paper. And but what didn't make the front page of the paper is that everybody else, you know, the other 167,000 people in town, mostly just went to work and were polite and tried to get food on the table for their kids, and in their fumbly way, me among them, tried to be decent. And so I still think in here the odds are in our favor.
It's weird, I'm having a deja vu about this, so I'm not really not really able to respond. You know how that happens sometimes?
Like, yeah.
So, we must have encountered each other in this some other way.
Well, and the odds actually aren't in our favor. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mortality rate, they say, is 100%.
Yeah, but not the violent mortality rate.
Right, right. Well, and really appreciating both. So, yes, in the midst of these incidents that get so publicized, so much other stuff going on, and we can be blinded. And yet, such a hair's breadth line here. Between trying to find some escape and so that's on one side. The other side is falling into despair, where we get lost and perpetuate in some ways. So how to sit upright in the suffering, and each one of us has our own terrible suffering, and we can go into the comparative thing, and well, I shouldn't feel bad because look at, and I think that's quite the wrong way to go about it. But I think this is the invitation to turn to that place of heartbreak, and that this invitation that I think you conveyed so beautifully, Diane, some possibility. Or that it's not what we think. And it doesn't mean that it's fine. But, you know, Chris, you point to this too. In those moments, there's that pivot point. There's something, some when things drop away, all the things we, you know, think we have to be worried about. There's something in this being human. Sickness, old age, death, incomprehensible violence and sadness. So this is our bodhisattva vow, to not turn away, neither from the what seems difficult and neither from the joy, the very real, you know, be stubborn for, you know, it's not just suffering. And we can find that delicate balance. Yeah, thank you.
Diane, I just want to say that I'm really inspired and moved to fully embrace my joy that I have. And it's, I mean, yeah, there's so much suffering. It's there, you know, it's definitely there. It's so real. And at the same time, there really is no point in like dwelling it. There actually is no point. And the only way that we can like move forward is finding other ways of being that make the old ways of being obsolete, right? So like I've found places and states of being that seem so effortless and free, and the whole world, I know every single human being is there at some level, but it's just the stories and the contexts and their environments that tell them otherwise. But like it's just so beautiful to and powerful to be able to hold that knowing and that groundedness and that love regardless of everything around. So I'm really inspired by this.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
You know, I'm having deja vu also. But my deja vu has to do with last year's Anga. And I don't know if anybody remembers, we got a phone call in the middle of Anga from our daughter. There was a message on the machine, and she said, okay, so I'm fine. Yeah, I want you to worry. Which is, whoa. I was on the message machine. But it was the day of the marathon bombing. And she lives in the Boston area, so... So we dealt with that in every Dharma talk. I don't know if they're archived or anything. You can go back and listen to them. It was really interesting to see how we went from absolute ignorance, because we were just, you know, la-di-da-di-da, going about our day. Well, these people have been blown up and killed, and, you know, the people traumatized forever. You know, the whole city was in a trauma state. And so it gradually leaked out here. You know, it was a little bit like the cloud came this way. Mm-hmm. And we were recapitulating some of those things that we talked about that day. Yeah. And the days to come, because there is indeed great joy that arises. There's also great sorrow that arises. I think a little piece that you said, Svena, that I want to just underline, I don't think you used this word, but we don't want to wallow in any of it. Mm-hmm. So wallowing is different from meeting, mm-hmm. right? So our hearts broke. There was fear, and if anybody remembers those times, you know, the whole city got shut down. People had to stay in their apartments, mm-hmm. and they couldn't leave, and you know, they were doing this police chase for these young boys mm-hmm. who had done this terrible thing. Mm-hmm. And it was... It just brought up everything that happens every day in the world somewhere. Mm-hmm. And this is in the Jack Gilbert song, mm-hmm. poem. Mm-hmm. He talks about this. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, somebody is suffering terribly. And also to be stubborn in the gladness that just arises. But not to make a fixed state of either one. Mm-hmm. Because what we really noticed in those days that followed, this is my recollection, was we kept moving and changing, everyone who came. And the people who came in from the outside had all this news. It's like, you guys are here, you're not listening to the radio, you're not watching television, let me tell you. And then they would box up the story. Mm-hmm. And it was this, what you pointed to, the stories mm-hmm. became horrifying, terrible. And I remember when that Cheshire murder happened, even though I think we were in Massachusetts when that happened. I'm not sure how long ago it was. And I'm thinking of the school shootings in Connecticut. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that there's like a cloud that does resonate out, and everybody is in it at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, we can recall other moments, 9/11, and, mm-hmm. you know, if you're old enough, when Kennedy was killed. That there's people, once they shake loose of the horror, the fear, the anger, the sadness, and it's a little bit like what Chris was pointing to when somebody's died and there's a funeral, and we were talking about hospice work, mm-hmm. something comes really alive in those moments, because you just get to meet people where they are. And I think that's exactly where Zen is helpful, because it's teaching us to meet the moment, not in these special circumstances, not just at funerals and just at hospice and just when there's a great tragedy, but to realize all the time human hearts are quivering with each other, and we're mostly trying to protect ourselves. You know, we spend a lot of energy doing that. So this is a way to learn how to be, to have that open heart when the moon is full. Not before the moon is full, but after the moon is full. How do you let that fullness keep going in your life?
Thank you. As soon as you said it's not about the full moon day, saying the 15th, I remember when I was very little going hunting during the summers, and this kind of hunting was done from about 12 at night until 3 in the morning. In the swampland, a bottomland, and it was mostly it was illegal at that time of year. And the idea was that we're just running the dogs; we're just exercising the dogs. So it was a problem if you actually caught something, and I won't go into that. But one of the interesting things was that everyone, without saying it, was waiting for that moment when you switched off the torches, because there was absolutely no light unless it was starlight. If it was cloudy, you couldn't even see, you know, a foot in front of you. But when there was starlight and you were listening to the dogs, that was just extraordinary. And nothing was ever said about it being extraordinary. It was just what was done. Mm-hmm. And it was why we were there. Mm-hmm. It was never said that that was why we were there, except, well, we have to exercise the dogs. But if the moon was shining, that was a bad day. Mm-hmm. Or a bad night, because then you missed that. Yeah. You missed that quality because everything was showing up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And yeah. That's great.
The cloudy days were good days, because it's fun not to be able to see and to be able to hear. And, but the starlight, to be seeing and by starlight and hearing the dogs.
That's great.
Just unbelievable.
Wow, thank you, Wayne. That's so helpful for understanding this koan, too.
Yeah.
You know,
because
it's
those
after.
Nice,
it's
bad
after.
Days.
Yeah, those nice, those wonderful bad days when things aren't shining brightly. Yeah. That's a good day.
But, and it takes me back to the cart and the story. So what is vividly clear when just the stars are shining and it's not, and can't see anything?
That's another koan we've been working with, when the wheels and the axle fall off the cart, what's vividly apparent.
And I have to tell you, my husband makes me watch Backwoods Law sometimes, so I'm going to look at it a whole different
way. It's all just an excuse for men to wander.
I don't pay any attention to the place.
Such a bodhisattva.
Truly.
Well, maybe the starlight is a nice place to end this one.